Happy Saturday. This is your host, Kenneth Lesser, and just thrilled to be with you again. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present value and have some fun doing it. You know, I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to naturally, easily experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so that we can enjoy a global loving community. There's more about that on advancedliving.com. And part of my mission, of course, is to bring value to you each week on this program. And guess what? Oh, are we in for a blessed and wonderful day? Any of you got a little too much stuff? Any of you members of the Hoarders Anonymous? Well, if you're drowning in clutter, is your hoarding out of control or is stuff everywhere? You got stuff piled on your stuff? Are you feeling powerless and overwhelmed in the mess? Well, you're not alone. Did you know that there are over 3 million searches online every day for advice on dealing with clutter? And today, Beverly Taylor, who is an expert on this subject, has exactly the information you're searching for. And now you can easily get organized and decluttered, even if you've tried other methods and failed before. And many of us have, time after time. I feel like I got a pilot's license. I pilot over here, I pilot over there, piles everywhere. You can't go on like that. It's not good for you. It made my feng shui consultant scream in terror. We can't have that going on. Beverly is a third-generation former clutterer, and she reveals how to utilize tools, techniques, and specific actions you can take to begin to live a clutter-free life. And Beverly Taylor is a speaker, certified hypnotherapist, and author of Easy Key to Life, a simple yet profound way of clearing out emotional pain to access one's true love, happiness, and wisdom. Ooh, want that? Yes. With this method, people have been able to stop smoking in 1 to 3 sessions, lose weight, clear clutter and organize, reduce anxiety, enhance relationships, stop procrastination, reduce stage fright, remove fears, improve their career, and many, many other improvements in their lives. Beverly is certified in advanced hypnotherapy, medical hypnotherapy, pain management hypnotherapy, habit control hypnotherapy. We're talking amazing, amazing background here. And she is one of the 2 people in the whole world certified to teach the Transformational Healing Method by Marilyn Gordon. And she's an honored member. Beverly's an honored member of the Cambridge Who's Who and has been awarded the 2005 Achievement Award in Hypnotherapy and 2006 Angel Award from the International Hypnosis Federation. In addition, she's a charter member of that. She has been a guest on radio and TV shows such as KEST, Seeing Beyond in the Company of Angels, and on TV such as ABC Channel 7, The View from the Bay. She was even featured, the featured hypnotherapist in the Learning Channel TV show, Help, I'm a Hoarder. And, of course, if you want more information about her, you can go to www.easykeytolife.com. But wait on doing that, because we get to hear from Beverly. Beverly Taylor, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for such a beautiful intro.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so excited to share this time with you that we will learn so much. Now, of course, we're talking about being getting rid of clutter. So would you help with telling me what are the main methods that have helped people to become uncluttered?
Well, one of the things that's most important, really, is to, shall we say, clear the clutter of the mind in the subconscious mind.
Mm.
And this is not a negative, not something to criticize people for, because I know that for myself, whenever people say, well, is the problem that you're cluttered in your mind? And I felt terrible, which is actually the worst thing to do, is you don't want to feel negative thoughts or negative feelings, because it doesn't help and it makes it worse. So what's really important with hypnotherapy is for us to clear things out in a gentle way, in a loving way, so that the person releases all the negative thoughts, negative emotions, negative belief systems that are going on in the subconscious mind.
Ah.
And then when we clear out all that negativity, then what happens is our innate sense, our innate self, the true person of who we really are, is a very positive, genuine, authentic person who wants to have serenity around us. That's who we really are. And it's just what's going on in the subconscious mind that's in the way.
Wow. Wow. And using your methods, we can actually go from the inside out, so I don't have to worry about how messy it is outside around me. First,
right.
I start on the inside.
Exactly. Actually, I do recommend my clients or the people that I work with, anyone, my students or clients, to also work with a professional organizer. I do recommend that, but because that helps to have another set of hands, and it helps in general to have someone helping on the physical layer. But if we don't clear out the emotions, the negative emotions, the negative thoughts, the negative belief systems, then what helps, if we clear out of physical clutter, we're just going to make it happen all over again. And that's been shown on these TV shows, all these TV shows where you see them zooming in and they clear out the whole, well, it looks to be the whole house.
Yes.
Well, there's two things about this. One of them is it just looks like it's all cleaned out. But sometimes it means that they've left 50 boxes in the garage, for example. That happened to one woman who was on one of the shows. I won't point out which one. But they left 50 boxes of stuff that they had taken out of her house and put in the garage.
Mm.
So it really didn't help her that much. And it didn't help, they didn't do anything much in the way of help for the emotional side. So she just went back to the same way, and actually they did visit her again, I forget if it was 6 months or a year later, and it was back to the same way because there was no change on the emotional side. And, in fact, some of these TV shows, especially the ones that are negative, that criticize the person, make it worse because it adds to the shame. And one of the things about the issue with clutter and hoarding is that there's huge amount of embarrassment and shame. And so that's why the issue is actually worse than most people realize.
Ah.
All of us researchers, I do the research in hypnotherapy, but there's also researchers in psychology, and we all know this, that people hide this. Now, because I happen to know the characteristics of clutterers, sometimes when a client comes to see me, I can actually guess that they're cluttered. Because they'll say things like, maybe they come in late, so there's a time management issue, and maybe they are procrastinators, and maybe they might have some money issues, they're obviously intelligent. So it could be that I can see it's pretty much of a genius-type person, very high intelligence or very high creativity. These are all characteristics of clutterers. One thing, and that is important to know, that the grand majority of clutterers are people of very high intelligence, or high to very high. That's what my research shows, and so same with a psychologist. So when a client comes in with all of this, let's say a set of characteristics like that, I often know, and I say very gently, because, of course, there's the shame and embarrassment, I say, by any chance, do you happen to be cluttered also? Mm. And then they go, oh, yes, how'd you know? And I said, well, you know, it's my specialty. And, you know, but they don't tell anybody. You know,
yeah.
And
well, that's why I'm not getting some invitations to people's houses. There's so much clutter there, they would be embarrassed to let me in.
Yes, yes, very, very commonly. And that's why the beauty of using hypnotherapy with clutter is just so wonderful, because often it's even just, let's say, around six sessions. Five or six is the recommended amount in general, but there's very much in general. Some clients, three sessions is fine, and other people need more. And it kind of depends on how high the stacks are, the piles are, in a sense. But with not that much, you know, of the hypnotherapy, we really can do huge, profound change where people can have really big differences. I had one client who, let's see, after working with me, they carried out, I think, 75 big, huge black garbage bags, you know, those big, huge ones?
Yes.
Full of stuff just from the master bedroom.
Master bedroom.
And it wasn't that big of a bedroom.
Okay. Oh, God. There's
then,
a picture, folks.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, this is what happened was the children were teenagers, and for the first time in their lives, they could bring friends home.
Oh.
So it's just, see how much of a wonderful thing it can create by clearing this out, what we can do that really adds value to this world. Positive feelings, where people are no longer embarrassed, no longer ashamed. They can hold their head up high and say, you know, they can even say, I'm a recovering clutterer if they want to.
Yes.
In fact, when I give speeches, that's how I usually introduce myself. I'm a recovering clutterer.
Well, is that better than being a recovering upholsterer?
Great. I love that. I love you. You're great stuff. Your pilot's license. That is so good.
Well,
you know,
go ahead.
It's just so funny. I mean, this is one thing that's really important. You know, 100 years ago or so, when people were alcoholics, the culture, the people around them would say terrible things to them. You know, things like, you know, you have a character flaw, you're a bad person, whatever. And then over time with AA and all the other work that's been done with alcohol, people now say, okay, no, this is a disease, and, you know, we have to be supportive of the person to be well, to heal themselves, to be better, okay? And so we don't criticize them in a horrendous way, hopefully, still having some. But yet for clutterers, it's okay. People just criticize it. Clutters up the yin-yang. Oh, what are, you know, disgusting, and this and that, and how horrible, and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, we're human. We're all human. And none of us are perfect. In fact, part of the problem with clutterers is we are perfectionists.
Wow.
But see, yes, that surprises a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're perfectionists, but we're perfectionists that if we could do it the way we really wanted to do it, it would take us 100 hours every day.
Yes.
But the problem is we're so intelligent and so interested in life. It's like, well, I'd rather go to an interesting lecture or read an interesting book than, oh, clear the clutter. Now, granted, I've learned methods and techniques to help me. Okay?
Yeah.
In fact, that's one. If this is okay, would it be okay if I give out a website for people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
if
that's
can
an
get
addition
something
to
free.
Yours?
Yes, additional. You can get to it from mine.
Okay.
But it's a special one called clutter2clarity.com, and that's all spelled out. And they can get a free technique just by going to that, clutter2clarity.com. There's a free document there that can be downloaded, and it's called the Wandering Butterfly Technique.
Mm.
And it's one that I've dreamed up. And it's very helpful, especially with people with ADD. What happens is that a lot of clutterers, or a higher percentage of clutterers, also have ADD and vice versa. There is a correlation there. It doesn't mean that every clutterer has ADD or vice versa, not at all. But there is a correlation. And it's one of the techniques that's fabulous, especially for people with ADD or lack of focus, or people who are sick or ill. One of the reasons I got the worst clutter was because I was sick for 9 years.
It was what?
If you're sick for 9 years, it's awfully hard to clean up.
Oh, and yeah, because I was understanding that you had had some medical challenges.
Yes, yes. And, in fact, there were times when I'd come home from work. I still worked. I don't know how I did it, but I did. Anyway, I would come home from work. I'd fall on my bed, fully clothed. And at night when my husband would come home, he would find me, or, you know, and, you know, when he wanted to go to bed, there I was still. And then he'd pull my clothes off because I was too weak to take them off. You know, and he would then put my nightgown on, and he would put me into bed because I was too weak.
Oh.
So when you're that weak, my whole goal for a whole weekend, for 2 days of a weekend, was to do the laundry, to do two loads of laundry. And it was so painful and difficult that it was really tough. But I wanted to do something. So if you could imagine, the rest of the house just went south.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And so that would definitely be, you know, chronic clutter. Now, I'm curious because, you know, that's a piece of your background. So how did you decide to work with that and hypnotherapy?
Well, what happened was, I started going into a lot of different healing modalities because I did go to my doctor and, you know, they found, you know, I was allergic to wheat. And so, and the allergist says, well, just don't eat wheat, like as if it was really easy. And, well, it's not. When you can't even have a bread crumb without getting a migraine for 4 days, it's not that easy.
Oh.
So, I had to learn that, and I had the medical profession did what they could, and then I went into all the alternative methods and just tried to find anybody and everybody who would help me, and I did over time. I was finding things would help, like acupuncture took the migraines from 4 days down to two. I mean, it didn't get rid of them, but, you know, well, it helped.
Yes.
And I went into different modalities, and then I started learning them. You know, I learned Reiki, and I learned an energy work called Luxmani. And then I started feeling like, you know, I feel like I want to learn something else. What else? And I looked in a magazine or a catalog, and this hypnosis stood out to me. And I thought, oh, well, okay,
yeah.
I'll try that. And so I got into hypnosis and loved it. And I decided to drop out of high tech into corporate America and become a hypnotherapist. And then I was just kind of, people would ask me, what is your specialty? And I go, I don't know. You know, I was new at it. You know, I guess, well, smoking, weight loss, you know, I don't know. I'm trying whatever. And I was doing kind of anything. And then it just popped into my mind one day, what about hypnosis and clutter?
Mm.
And since I was a third generation recovering clutterer, I had lots of experience on all sides with this. And I thought, wow, okay. And then I decided, well, let me do a study, because after all, you know, how else can you show that it works? So I put it out there onto radio and every place I could that, you know, if people came to me at the time, I gave them a big discount in my fees if they would do part of the study. So I worked with these people. It was 48 people, and it showed really inconclusively how wonderful hypnotherapy is to support people who are cluttered.
Mm. Wow. That's excellent. I guess, you know, you mentioned that clutter sometimes is a family affair, and I'm just wondering how do we deal with what do we do with these cluttered people?
Well, one of the things is that, and I have to say, unfortunately, is that a person has to want to change. They have to want to do something different. And you can't make a person change. You know, like they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. It's the same thing with humans. So you can lead them to a hypnotherapist, but you can't make them be hypnotized. And that's happened. In fact, if anyone calls up and says, I'm going to bring my son or daughter or whatever, I said, do they want to be here?
Yes.
Or husband or wife or whatever. And it's like only if they want to change. Okay, so first off, the desire has to be there. One of the problems I do, or issues I run into with people, is a lot of times they don't have a belief or hope. A lot of people come to me like with no hope. They feel like, how can I ever be different? Nothing's ever changed. And the whole first session is actually just to give them hope. Because I have lots of stories and I can tell them everything and, you know, lots about all the successes. And I teach them, you know, how hypnosis works so they can see how it actually will work. Because it's all scientifically based, too. I mean, I can teach all that. And so then after the first session, often they say, wow, at least now I have some hope that maybe there could be something better.
Oh.
And then one of the things about families, you know, and something important to know is approximately 50% of those people are hoarders. In other words, people are kind of at the higher, the more difficult layers in a sense. About 50% don't see the issue. And it's the way I like to look at it is, if once you're, when you're really cluttered, if someone were to point it out to you, it's too painful to acknowledge it. Now, I'm not saying this is true for everybody because I can't, you know, say that for everybody. I think, I personally think that's part of it. Because people, when I say that, say, well, how could that be? The psychologists in their research, they found that 50% don't see the problem. Now, they deal with people who are the hoarder level, the more intense, you know, higher piles type side of it. And that's what they have found is 50%. I personally didn't research that statistic, so I can't. And, of course, I was dealing with people who wanted to change.
Yeah.
So we can't, you know, and then you can't make someone. The best is, of course, to really be compassionate. Because one thing I can say is any negative comments to a hoarder or clutterer doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
And, in fact, when I would mention that to my clients, sometimes they say, oh, yeah, I'd dig my heels in even stronger if they did that. Because one of the characteristics for a lot of clutterers is actually rebellion. In fact, a lot of people think, you know, well, how do people become this? And there's no one way. But one of them is if a parent, one or two of the parents are either cluttered or, like extremely neat, like a neat-aholic, that will create a cluttered child. It's either extreme, and it almost doesn't matter which one. So you commonly have the situation where a parent, one or two of the parents, will either be cluttered or extremely neat, or both. You know, like one is the other. In fact, they get married quite often.
Oh.
It's really interesting. You know how life works, you know, opposites attract? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that's what happened. So, for example, I had some of my clients had parents who were very militaristic, you know, like were actually in the military, and it was like, okay, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, everybody up and clean the house.
Mm.
Well, what happened was, you know, what do little kids want to do?
Play.
Play. They want to watch TV. They want to play. They don't want to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and clean the house. In a negative, militaristic way, in a negative way. See, it's that negativity. They want to have fun. So what happens is what they want to do is having fun, and then they sit there in their mind going, well, when I grow up, I'm never going to do this. The problem is that they forget that they thought that, but that's all stored in the subconscious mind. And so when they become a young adult, which 52% of my clutter study participants became cluttered as young adults.
So when they become a young adult, on chronic messiness?
Yes. I actually called it originally chronic messiness. Now I like to call it chronic clutter.
Okay.
Whatever. It's my study.
You call it anything you want.
Yeah. I originally called it chronic that. So what happened was then they started becoming cluttered because their inner mind says, okay, we're no longer at mommy and daddy's home. We can do whatever we want, and we're not going to do that.
Hmm.
So, and actually, I gave a talk once in front of a group, and I was talking about how a common one way to actually almost make your child be cluttered is you yell at them. Now go clean up your room. It's a filthy pigsty, blah, blah, blah. That kind of parenting actually can, doesn't mean it will, create a clutterer. And when I was giving a talk once, a woman was, oh, my God. That's what I've been doing.
Mm. Oh, my.
Now, here's the way. Do the Barney way. You know, Barney, the, you know, purple dragon or whatever he is.
Okay.
I'm serious, actually. You know, what is, and it's funny how a lot of, there are adults who don't like Barney, right? But, you know, what is Barney all about? Clean up, let's have some fun. It's all that kind of fun stuff. And I watched a woman who didn't have a clutter issue either way. She wasn't insanely neat and she wasn't cluttered. And I watched her teach her little child, her, like, I think he was 2 or 3, 4 years old. And she was helping him clean. She was cleaning with him and say, oh, let's go clean up. Do you want to sing the cleanup song? You know, and he sang the cleanup song a little bit. It's like, clean up, okay. And they were having fun. And she was there right with him. Now, with little bitty kids, you know, for some reason, adults sometimes forget or don't realize that they don't know how to clean up. And the way to help them is work with them. And in a gentle, positive way. And then that will create a child who feels that cleaning up is a nice thing. Make sense?
Yeah.
As opposed to the yelling, doesn't work. Or doing nothing. Now, that one of the reasons why sometimes you have cluttered children of cluttered parents is, first off, there's the role modeling, but also they may not have learned how to clean up.
Sure.
And then other adults are like, well, you know, like ones who are good at cleaning up, they go, well, if, let's say, adult to adult, and they go, well, how could that be? Well, of course you know how to clean up. Excuse me, but no, I don't. So there's all these things going on, and guess what? All this is in the subconscious mind. And
oh,
so we can clear it out.
Well, that's great. So that's where the power of the hypnosis comes in.
Yes, yes. And that we can do it gently and easily and in a, just such a gentle way. My method, Easy Key to Life, is especially gentle. But all hypnotherapy, most of it, most hypnotherapy have varying amounts of how well it can work with this. But, I mean, you know, a lot of them very good, and some of them, you know, fine. But the Easy Key to Life, the one thing about it is we actually gently work with the client to do what they want to do. So we're not creating rebellion here because we don't tell them what to do at all. And we ask them, you know, would you like to get rid of this or change it? And then the client makes that decision. And then the client, we never tell the client how to do it. We also say, and also I do everything very energetically. So I don't get into the story of the whole thing. So we energetically are asking them, how would you like to get rid of this or change it, whichever one they want to do? And we give them ideas if they want ideas. And the ideas are all metaphorical because that's how the subconscious mind thinks. If you don't talk logic to the subconscious mind, you talk metaphors, and yet, especially with cluttered people, it's so important to be doing it gently in a way that doesn't create rebellion so that the client is always choosing what they want to do. But we just give them ideas because otherwise they don't know inherently often. Sometimes they do. I had one client, for example, a couple of clients actually, I said, well, would you like ideas about how to get rid of this? And I remember this one woman says, I'd like to kick it out. Okay, great. Go ahead and kick it out and let me know when you're done. And she started physically kicking, which is fine. Kinesthetic people will often do it physically. And that's about 10% of the population approximately. So she started physically kicking and was like, okay, go ahead. You know, however, whatever works, whatever floats your boat, you know. And
yes,
that's true. It's whatever works for that person is the right thing. And then we get relief. And then when you feel good, it's easier to clean up. Because the whole thing about clutter is people look at it and go, ugh. And even feel overwhelmed. Like, it, there's a brain chemistry thing here, too. Women will feel overwhelmed because they'll tend to have low serotonin.
Oh.
So they'll feel very overwhelmed, depressed, and just, oh, what's the use? What am I going to do? And I like to think of it as the frozen clutter. Because when you actually have a lot of negative emotions about it, it becomes, in a sense, conceptually frozen. So then we just have to conceptually unfreeze it, and then that works. By the way, men with clutter will tend to feel lack of motivation, lack of energy, also a form of depression. And that is because of low dopamine.
Ah, so we're talking some brain chemistry and clutter here.
Yeah.
Huh. And,
yeah.
Wow, and I'm curious, of course, it's some of these levels. I don't know if this is stuff that you can help with nutrition or how do you deal with those aspects of clutter?
Yes, nutrition is one of the best ways to improve dopamine and serotonin, or I'd say the best way, because there are other ways, but they're just temporary.
Like in pizza?
Well, yeah. Well, pizza's a negative way of enhancing the brain chemistry.
Oh, okay. Find something different, huh?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, the negative side, well, it depends. Of course, some people it's harder than others. I, of course, get very ill with pizza.
Uh-huh.
But what happens is a lot of the craving for pizza is actually craving for serotonin.
Oh.
Because what you have is bread. Any of the breads, the carbs, is a precursor, not necessarily healthy precursor, but it is a precursor. It depends on what kind of carb. It is a precursor for serotonin. Also bringing in the cheese. By the way, cheese often is a dairy, which dairy often represents the comfort of mom. Because, you know, when you're growing up for your first however many months or years, depending on whatever child it is, you're getting comforted by mother's milk and being close to mom and things like that. So inherently within us, there is, whenever we're going after, I shouldn't say whenever, but a common thing is when you're going after dairy, it is actually looking for comfort.
Mm.
Isn't that beautiful? Actually,
yeah.
It is beautiful because instead of going after dairy like, you know, cheese, well, of course, certain amounts of cheese in the right kind is not necessarily negative, but if someone is addicted to dairy type of thing, like too much, not the right kind, that type of thing, like, you know, Twinkies, or dairy with a lot of sugar, which is not so healthy,
yeah.
Then what we can do is bring comfort into the person's subconscious mind and bring it actually into themselves in a conceptual basis, a metaphorical basis, and that's much more profound. And it's truly healing, so they no longer have the craving for all of the unhealthy foods.
Oh, in other words, and if I'm hearing you, some of your hypnotherapy sessions, the way you language it, the stories, the metaphors, help a person to connect to comfort within themselves instead of in the dairy rack, dairy counter?
Yes, huh? Exactly. That's how I do the weight loss. In fact, I learned my weight loss program from my clutter program, actually, because I found just they're very related, by the way. In fact, 55% of the people in my clutter study were also overweight or rated themselves as overweight. So it's a fairly common correlation also. Same kind of issue. What is driving the cluttered behavior often is also what drives the overweight. And it often is looking for comfort food. Well, instead, we can create the comfort inside of oneself, and it can be a very, very permanent way of doing it.
Wow, I never thought of fat or obesity as body clutter.
Oh, that's great. You're just wonderful. I love how you use words. You're right. I hadn't thought of it in those words, but that's fabulous.
I'd tie a little something together for you, Beverly.
Thank you very much.
You know, you're helping a lot of people, and it's an honor to have you sharing, and it's and I call forth, when I'm with my guests, God's help that I may share things like that you can use and be even more effective.
Yes, and Kenneth, let me tell you something beautiful about a person's belief in God and the connection to God. Because truly, when I say about getting the comfort, guess what? The best comfort is comfort from God.
And
it's the best.
Yes.
What I do, now here's what I do. Uh-huh. If a client first off, I ask a client what their spiritual beliefs are. Because it's really important for me to go along with whatever their beliefs are. I mean, totally whatever supports them. Now, my favorite type of person is one with high spiritual belief, because then we got a lot of power there.
Yeah.
And we got, here's the other thing, you know, who's the best support, you know, God's the best support staff, you know what I mean? That's right. I tell my clients, well, you got a good support staff there, right?
Yeah.
And so I always prefer that because it's easier for me. It's terrible. It's not just that. I mean, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And if the hardest one is when a client has very little belief system, that's a lot harder because there's nothing to pull from, nobody to help in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you one thing. You know, one of the things I do in the hypnosis is, you know, I say, okay, oh, yeah, at the very end, let's say that they feel like the woman wanted to kick it out. Okay, great. Then I always ask at the end, does it feel like in the area where that used to be, is there any hole, gap, or emptiness there? And then the client checks, and about 20% of the time they say yes, maybe 30, maybe 20 to 30. And they say, yeah, kind of like a, yeah, kind of like a hole. And then I usually say, would you like to fill that with love or light or both? Okay, now, you already got it. Well, here's what, you already got it. I can tell. Well, guess what? So when a client, I had this one client I remember. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. She was very clear that she was very connected to God. And that was the word. I always use the same words. Okay, whatever,
yeah.
You know, if someone says, you know, St. Michael, it's okay, whatever. But so when I said that, I said, would you like to fill that with God's love or God's light? And then she said, God's love is God's light. Oh, I was just blown away. It was so beautiful.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Oh, I felt like I could just kneel down in front of her and say, thank you so much for being here. What a beautiful gift that was to me to be able to witness that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and the beauty of this whole thing, by the way, is inherently, I don't have to say the word God because love and light is God. And it doesn't matter the words, really. Not really. If a person doesn't have a belief system, love and light works.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in there. It's all in there.
Rose by any other name.
Yeah, really. Really.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, because truthfully, that's the power. There's the power. And one way to do it that I teach people is we have a conscious mind, a subconscious mind, a superconscious mind. And the superconscious mind is the part of us that's connected to God. And that's the part with our inner wisdom, our divine nature. And that's the part that makes sure that everything's fine. And that's the part we're actually clearing out the clutter of the subconscious mind so that we can reach the superconscious mind, which is the divine nature.
Mm.
Isn't that beautiful? And truthfully, all we're doing is opening up a person toward God.
Yes.
And to the experience of God and however they experience God to be, whatever it is.
Oh.
And whatever it is,
wonderful.
I mean it. It's just beautiful because whatever a person's belief system is fine. And I just work with that. But
yeah.
It's just the energy of it all is the same. Because like they say, you know, there is only one God, you know. Well, guess what? Yeah. It's only one energy. But some people use different words. And I use whatever the client's words are.
Oh, that's wonderful. When I studied with Reverend Hannah Kroger and became an ordained healing minister many years ago, I set forth a mission that was essentially to joyously reunite everyone with their source.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it sounds like you're talking in those very similar terms.
Yes. In fact, I even call it source healing.
Mm.
Yeah, because here it is. We're healing from the source, and we're getting closer to the source.
Ah, and healing issues at their source.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? And are you finding more people opening up to hypnotherapy?
Yes, I am. I would say actually almost every year or two I see a change, a shift, that there are more and more people who are open to hypnotherapy for two reasons. One of them, they're finding out it's not the weird stuff, and that there is a difference of hypnotherapy versus the stage hypnosis. Because, you know, stage hypnosis is what you see on TV a lot of times, other than the shows I've been on.
Yeah.
And actually, if someone wants to see the shows, they can go to my website, easykeytolife.com.
Okay.
And then they can actually click on the left side. They actually can see me on the shows.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so you can actually see me doing the hypnotherapy. You know, one is with clutter and the other person is with smoking. But I would say that people are beginning to realize that hypnotherapy is a therapeutic modality that helps people. And there is stage hypnosis, which makes people look funny.
Yes.
It's for entertainment purposes only. You know, I've done it before. I'm trained in stage hypnosis. I actually was trained by a master in that. The purpose is entertainment. And guess what? Those people are volunteers, and they know what they're going to get into. They know what they're going to do, basically. They know they're going to have fun. They're the kind of person who wants to have fun. The kind who wants to get up and do funny things. That's the kind of person who volunteers, and that's what, and they do a good job.
Yes.
And if they don't, they're excused very gently and quietly. And so people don't focus on them. They only notice the ones being funny.
Yeah.
So it works, but that's entertainment. Hypnotherapy is, of course, in much more, it's this profound healing at the source level, using the power of source.
Mm.
And that's why we can create, I mean, what is serenity and beauty and everything is related to God, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, the serenity within us is the God within us, too. And that's how, once we get in touch with that, we begin to want the physical environment around us to shift. Because if sometimes once we get rid of the hang-ups and the hurt feelings and the negativity, we begin to want to clean up, and we just do it. It's just automatic. It's easier, as opposed to it being this horrible negative thing. And that's why I like the wandering butterfly is actually something. You just kind of wander around and just pick things up, and, you know, it just sort of happened. Oh, you know, in fact, it happened when I created Wandering Butterfly when I was not feeling well. And my brain was always so fuzzy back then. It was really, you know, fuzzy. I was either in a migraine or sinus headache or fuzzy brain. I call it fuzzy brain. I had one of those things, and I still wanted to clean up, though. And so I said, well, you know, I'm just going to wander around and just do what I can to make it better. You know, at least a little bit here and there. And doing little bits at a time is wonderful. And I have a whole thing described, like I said. If they go to easykeytolife.com, they can click where it says downloadable book. Well, let's see. Yeah, and then it'll go there the same place.
Okay. Take you over to clutter2clarity.com.
Right, and then on clutter2clarity.com, if the person puts in their email address, and I don't spam people, they only get emails once in a while from me. I'm not that prolific.
Okay.
But anyway, if they put that in, they get it free, a description of the wandering butterfly technique.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay, so.
And there's really good resources on my normal website, theeasykeytolife.com. There's a lot of resources. Like I said, I do recommend people to get professional organizers, and then there's links to that when you go in there, links to the groups that have lists of professional organizers.
Oh, that's great.
Of course, then the hypnotherapy really helps. And I have hypnotherapists around the United States, not yet in another country. Well, I have people who have bought the book, hypnotherapists, you know, and we're working on increasing the number of hypnotherapists around the U.S. Who are certified in the Clutter to Clarity method. So I have a book called Clutter to Clarity, and that's one version for the public and a different version for the hypnotherapist. Okay, so hypnotherapists study that, and then they get certified, and so we're increasing. I have close to getting toward 40 people in the United States who do this. Of course, we can do it over the phone, too, but, sometimes people like to go to people.
Okay, so someone could sit in an easy chair and call you on the phone and be guided through
yes.
the process wherever they're at.
Yes,
even
exactly.
Even right in the midst of clutter.
That's true, and that's a very good point because, you know, maybe they don't even feel up to going out. Maybe they're not feeling well or they're whatever reason, you know. And so you're right. They could just get comfortable wherever they're at, and we can do it over the phone. Half of a hypnotherapy session anyway is talking because I have to gather a lot of information. or we have to, because it's not just me, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of it is the actual hypnotherapy. And you're right, you can be in easy chair, you can be in bed. When I do it, I just lie down in my bed.
Ah, so you probably have a caution somewhere, don't do this standing up.
Right, right. Now that you could.
You could.
It wouldn't be comfortable.
No.
Well, yeah, no.
Yeah, we're going for comfort, aren't we?
Right. It's definitely not driving. Oh, you know, I usually create a recording.
Not driving on the set with your cell phone?
Really? No. Not a good idea. In fact, with my, you know what, I have CDs and tapes I sell, and on those they all say, don't use while operating heavy machinery such as a car.
Yes.
That one I borrowed from somebody else. I loved it when they said that heavy machinery such as a car.
Yeah, there you go. Wow,
yeah.
Wow, this is wonderful. I know I'm excited because sometimes people get all determined. They have New Year's resolution. They're fed up with the clutter. And yet, I don't know about other people, but willpower and that determination. Boy, that takes a lot of effort and energy, and it doesn't seem to last long term. And
right.
I'm just wondering how you tie that, you know, the willpower versus hypnosis. What do you? How can this help us?
Well, willpower is in the conscious mind, and conscious mind is only 2 to 5% of our brain power.
Oh.
So our conscious mind has the logic, thoughts, judgment, and willpower in this EDBD part of our brain. And we think it's big. Oops, nope. Well, so the subconscious mind, what's unconscious is, therefore, like 95% of our brain power. And that's why we need to clear things out of the subconscious mind to make it easier. So willpower does work if the subconscious mind is in agreement. So, for example, a person who's neat, they don't have anything in their subconscious mind that's in the way. So their willpower goes, okay, let's clean up. Okay, fine. Easy.
Mm.
But with a clutter person, there's all, like mountains of clutter, of negative energy. I'm going to just call it negative energy because it could be negative belief systems. It could be negative emotions. It could be negative habits. All that stuck in, or whatever, just everything stuck inside of the subconscious mind. So that's why we have to clear it out of there. And once we clear it out of there, then the willpower does work.
Ah, okay.
And that's how it is across the board with all willpower, because I have people coming in to see me, oh, I guess I just don't have enough willpower. I go, yeah, you do. You have the same willpower as anybody else. But you have other stuff in your subconscious mind that's in the way. Because willpower does work if there's nothing in the way.
Mm.
But if there's stuff in the way, it doesn't work.
Ah, so willpower is kind of like setting an intention or setting a goal. It says this, I intend this, I want this. And without that inner alignment, it's a struggle and oftentimes a struggle in futility.
Exactly.
Ah.
You know, everything we do where we say, well, how come, why can't I do this? Well, because there's something in the subconscious mind that's in the way. You know, so many people are beating themselves up by saying, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do whatever? You know, the whatever. And all it is, hey, you got something in the subconscious mind that's in the way, and it would be nice to clear it out. And once you clear it out, then you easily do what you need to do. And this is profound. It's so awesome. I'll tell you honestly, you know, I'm so blessed to be in this work because I help people be happy. I help people be able to do what they need to do, to stop drinking, to stop gambling, to stop smoking, to lose weight and be happier, to be decluttered. I had one, a boyfriend and girlfriend. They'd been dating for many years, and both of them were cluttered. The boyfriend much more so, and the girlfriend was never allowed into his apartment ever all those years. So, for example, if she went, to visit or to go to his, they were in two different cities. If she went to his city, for some reason, if she wanted to go to the bathroom, she had to go down the street to the gas station. And she could pick him up or drop him off or whatever, but she never went inside the apartment. And he only did three sessions with me, with only three sessions, and he graduated because he didn't need me anymore. After that, he come on in, and he invited her in, and he let her use the bathroom. It was because he had decluttered it. And he was then proud of it. So think of all the beautiful, positive feelings we can create by cleaning out the clutter of the subconscious mind.
Yes, and doing it so gently. And like in your phone number for people to not just visit your website at easykeytolife.com, EASYKEYTOLIFE, for those that like to hear those letters, .com. Your phone, 866, a toll-free number, 326-EASY. Oh, that's great.
EASY, and that's 3279, but yeah, that was, of course, obviously picked on purpose because it's an easy phone number.
Yeah, 866-326-3279 or EASY. This is to me, that's just extraordinary because the gentleness of your approach, Beverly, that I think is absolutely fantastic. And I know there's people that will be wanting to call you to get help and support and to get your book. And you said that they can get for free this technique. They go to clarity.com, this butterfly technique.
Yeah, the Wandering Butterfly.
Wandering Butterfly.
And they can go to the easykeytolife.com. They can go from there. It says something like get my downloadable book. I do. My book is downloadable also, but I like to tell people about the free stuff, you know. It's always good to know about the free stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, they can download my book also. But on that same place where it says a downloadable book, if they want, they can actually just get this Wandering Butterfly technique for free.
Oh, and then on your Easy Key to Life website, they can download a full copy, purchase from you a full copy of your book, Clutter to Clarity.
Right. They can buy it as a regular book, you know, as paper, you know, on paper, or they can download it either way, whichever they prefer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And also I have CDs to help them that are actually guided imagery. I got to tell you about one of them, though. The first one's called Baby Steps to Orderliness. Because baby steps is one of the techniques, one of the secrets of success, of being successful with clutter, to declutter. And I had a man who had OCD and probably he was a hoarder and probably fairly significant amount of clutter, I think.
And OCD is?
Obsessive compulsive disorder. So thank you for asking. I tend to forget that people might not know what that is. Yeah, obsessive compulsive disorder is also very common, that people who are heavily cluttered or often have OCD and vice versa, that some people with OCD have a lot of clutter. So obsessive compulsive disorder. It's one of the five types of OCD, okay? It's not like everyone. That's the one with the washing the hands, people who are afraid of germs and all that.
Oh.
That's OCD, and it's one of the five categories. Like the washing hands is one of the five, and I think it's the germs one also, but the fifth one is also hoarding. So anyway, this man had a significant hoarding issue, and he didn't really have a lot of money. And he said, what would be the most important thing for me to do? And I said, well, let's just buy the CD, the first one, the Baby Steps. And he did. And he emailed me back. He said within, I think, the next day or two, he started decluttering. And that's awesome. I'll tell you, that's awesome. If you know anything about OCD, OCD is a very stubborn type of issue, and it's very hard for them to change. And he immediately started decluttering. I'll tell you honestly, I felt so happy and blessed and thrilled that it would work that well for him.
Well, maybe it should be called obstinate instead of obsessive.
One of the things, you know, part of the obsessiveness is, again, back to the perfectionism. But what's really important is process and progress. but not perfectionism.
So, folks, for $15, you could get a piece of information, this Clutter to Clarity CD.
No, actually, the CD is more than a piece of information. It actually is a guided meditation.
Oh, okay.
And it actually helps the person work with their subconscious mind to declutter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is fabulous. I know. I just want to keep talking to you. And, of course, there's other people that are going to want to use the airwaves, and they're going to wonder why I haven't acquiesced. So I've got to just thank you so much for spending this quality time with myself and the listeners here today, Beverly.
Well, thank you, Kenneth. I really appreciate being able to talk about this and just to be able to share. And I really appreciate that you have a spiritual background. And again, anyone can come to me. And I work with, of course, everyone, including people who are atheists or whatever. But I know the power of the being connected to God, and I think that's so beautiful.
Yes, and with that thought, we'll wrap up for today, wishing that all of us, in our own way, spend the rest of this day, this week, until we meet again next Saturday, and for as long as you possibly can, connected to your source, gently and lovingly. And until we meet again, God bless you all. Thank you, Beverly. Thank you, beloved listeners. And goodbye for now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let go.